our New Testament. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. We want to make sure you have a Bible to study with us. Please just raise your hand if you're in need of a Bible. The usher will pass one over to you. And if you need to keep it, it's all yours, of course. There's no charge for it, anything like that. They also have pencils to keep notes with. We encourage you to do that. But in particular, let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Summer is winding down. Schools either have or very shortly will begin to start up again. Vacations are wrapping up. I'd like to say maybe we're all getting busier, but I'm not sure we get any less busier in summer. We just kind of change the nature of our busyness, it seems like. But for sure, this is the time of year when things really kind of kick into gear even more. The various men's and women's Bible studies up and running soon, Calvary Kids Clubhouse going on. Guess what I'm saying is just so many things going on in our lives. And as I look around, both in my life and so many other people's lives, it just seems like we're so busy today. It seems like there's so many things competing for our time and attention. I don't know, has anybody here found that to be the case for you? It seems like there's a lot of things that invite us to invest ourselves in those things, to spend our time in those things. We have pressures of home and school and work. We have invitations from all around us, really. You had a card there. Tim was showing the card from the crusade for tonight. Don't have one here, I guess. There it is. There's one. This is an invitation, isn't it, to come out and be a part of the harvest and the ranch tonight. And so we encourage you to act upon that invitation and go out and be a part of that tonight. But it's an invitation, like so many things, that all of a sudden we have to make a decision, don't we? Okay, now how am I going to invest my time? I've got all these things that I potentially could do. What do I have to do, should do, want to do? So many invitations around us. Again, we have the pressures of all the kids' events. It seems like more and more this time of year, things pick up again with all the athletic schedules in terms of all the things that kids get involved in, or you know, after-school activities. And again, just so many things just inviting us. Our bulletin, our invitations. You look at all those opportunities in there. They're really invitations to jump on board, to fellowship together, to grow in the Lord together, to be used by the Lord together. Invitations, so many things, just asking us to be a part of it. This world holds forward invitations all the time, doesn't it? In terms of, well, you should do this, go there, check this out, buy this. All these invitations of priority decisions in terms of our priorities. And that's what it comes down to, priorities. We get all these invitations of how to spend our time and energies and focus and all. And then we've got to decide, which ones do I act upon? The communion this Wednesday night, that's the invitation. God invites you to come and remember what He did for you. And so we get that invitation from God saying, come on, I want to meet you here, and I want you to do this remembrance of me. Then we've got to decide, okay, I've got that invitation, but I've got some other things I could do or need to do or should do, and then I start trying to prioritize it all. Your Bible is an invitation, isn't it? It's really an invitation. It's an invitation to go to heaven. Invitation to have your sins forgiven. Invitation to know why you were created. Invitation to have purpose and meaning in life. Invitation to find a refuge. An invitation to have peace. They're all invitations. And so we have schedules and people and things all inviting us. And then we have God inviting us. Inviting us to communion. Inviting us to know Him and grow in Him. All these things. And then we sit down and decide, okay, which ones? Which ones will get my time? Which one will I choose to do? May I lovingly encourage you, when it comes to making that list, when it comes to responding, when it comes to setting your priorities, let's see, God inviting me or the television inviting me? Let's see. Or the world inviting me, or this advertisement, or this talk show person inviting me, or God inviting me? Then the Lord says, decide. I encourage you, choose God. Choose the things He sets before you. Then ask Him in everything, really. Ask Him in everything. Lord, what would you have me and my family doing? How would you have us spend our time and energies and all? And then you do that. You do that as He leads you, as He guides you. That's the place to be. I'm just saying, be careful. There's so many things inviting you to be a part of them. I say, choose God. Well, have you turned to Hebrews? Book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Let's take a look at it. We're in verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1 is where we're starting this morning. Where we read, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God, through the author of Hebrews here, does not mess around. I mean, he gets right to it. You ever watch a launch of the space shuttle? Okay, one has. You might try it sometime. They put them on TV, news. Has anybody ever watched the launch of a space shuttle? A few more, all right. I'm just making sure everybody's awake and with us here and track it along here. I mean, when that thing goes off, it doesn't just kind of go sputter, sputter, you know, kind of, what's it do? I mean, countdown hits zero and wham. The smoke and the fire come belching out of the bottom of that thing, and it just takes off, doesn't it? Shooting up through the atmosphere, through the sky, through the clouds, out into the atmosphere. I mean, it is something as it overcomes gravity at all. Wham! It's off and running. I don't know how many thousands of miles an hour it's going, but it's scooting right along. That's nothing compared to what God does right here. And I hope you saw it. He says, God has spoken, and he's spoken by his Son. And then he says, and about this Son, wham, and off goes the rocket. I mean, it says he was there, heir of all things, creator of all things. He goes right through creation. He goes through the incarnation. He goes through the cross. He goes up to, he's forgiven us. To right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Wham, in three or four verses, we're there. All that's wrapped up in Jesus. There's so much here for us. See, God uses the author of Hebrews to write to a people who at this time, there were people who really lacked the knowledge, the heart knowledge, the experiential knowledge, and the faith of what Jesus and his salvation truly means. So it's a letter that speaks directly to that issue. But as it was then, so it is today. Because even for many a believer, unfortunately, I mean, how many rest in simply being saved? Content to have their sins pardoned, but really don't seem to move into a close personal attachment, if you will, fellowship with Jesus. Into that place of truly experiencing God's victorious living that he has for us. See, this letter offers each one here the very opportunity to not just know about him, not to know him from afar, but God wants you to know him heart to heart in an ever-increasing and growing manner. May God find in us, individually and as a fellowship, may he find in us those who say, I want to know you more and more, Lord. I've called our time together this morning based on these first couple of verses, God has spoken. Let's pray. Father, that you have spoken is an awesome, awesome thing. And we just want to soak in it this morning. But the real question is, Lord, help us to hear you. We pray, Father, that by the Holy Spirit, you take your word now, and with your power and your might, help us to hear. The kind of hearing that leads to change. The kind of hearing that leads to us experiencing what you have for us. Help us, Lord. Lord, there can be so many things that compete for our attention. Even now, as we sit here physically, but our minds can be a million miles away, Lord. Help us right now. Help us bring every thought captive to you. Calm every emotion. For those who are struggling or have fears, just pour out your peace, Lord. We're asking you to help us. Because there's something you want to say because you love us. And help us hear that, Lord. Help us especially hear that. That you're declaring to each one, you love us. We thank you for that. We pray now, Lord, you'll help us to hear you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 1 again. God, right off the bat, wham, God. No debate about if he is, exists, and what is he like. Just the statement, God, the God who is, the God of the Bible, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Almost everyone here this morning, certainly those who are followers, believers in Jesus, would not dispute the statement of these verses. Indeed, their quick acceptance is part of and it's rooted in our faith and our decision that indeed this is God's Word. If you're a believer this morning, hopefully you've settled that issue. And so what is being said here as we jump right into it? Again, nothing that you probably don't already know. That God, in what we call the Old Testament, spoke. He spoke through the prophets, those who God had chosen to use, to share, to speak to people about what God wanted us to know. That in our Old Testament, we have God speaking through man things that were provisional, preparatory in nature, if you will. Not that what was spoken in our Old Testament was meant to be permanent or meant to satisfy, but rather it was meant to awaken an expectation of something, or even more accurately, someone better to come. The idea of better, by the way, will come up a whole lot in this book of Hebrews. That Jesus is better than the angels will be addressed. That He's better than the prophets. That He's better than the priest. See, the Old Testament was the promise. Our New Testament records the fulfillment of the promise. It's all part and parcel of the same story. But we're saying that God spoke and prepared, spoke through angels, spoke through the prophets and all, leading up to by now what He has done. And that's what draws my attention this morning. And I believe that's where to focus in this morning. So much here, but look at verses 1 and 2 with me again. I think this is what we're to soak in this morning. It may seem simple, but in its simplicity, it is awesome. Read it again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. I hope you never, ever take for granted what I just read. I pray it would stir in us a different response than it sometimes finds. Kind of that, oh yeah, that's cool, but what's new? And you know, think about it. Do you see that? God has spoken. Now that in itself, to me, seems like you should earn at least kind of a hallelujah or an amen or something. But we get used to it, don't we? God has spoken. The object of this letter is to bring us to God. It's to reveal God to us. It's to bring us into contact with Him. See, consider that statement. God has spoken. Not distant, but He has spoken. Speaking is the vehicle of fellowship. Through speaking, we connect. Now, yes, there's other ways you can connect by touch or by sight or something, but speaking certainly is a big part of any kind of relationship, any kind of connecting, and it's a big part of fellowship, is it not? And man was created for fellowship with God. So God speaks as part of that relationship, fellowship. But sin broke the fellowship with God. Man, in response to that, hid in the garden and has really been hiding ever since. But what broke the silence after man sinned? God came, it tells us. And it tells us in Genesis 3:9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Not that God didn't know literally where he was, but he's saying to him, do you understand what's happened? Do you see this distance now that's been created? What have you done? But the point I'm bringing up is God spoke, called. It's God who reached out and said, where are you? See, it's speaking. It indicates God's desire for connection. God calls man back to fellowship with Him. But the question becomes, is anyone listening? Now you're going to hear me use that expression a couple of times this morning. Is anyone listening? Now when I say listening, I mean listening the way you use it when you speak to your kids. You know what I mean? When you tell them, when they do something you told them not to, and what do you say? Didn't you hear what I said? Well, oftentimes they'll take the fifth and go, oh, no, I didn't hear. But reality is probably the sound waves hit the eardrum. But what you mean with that word is what? You mean, I said it, meaning hear and do. You're to hear and do what I say. So when I say listening, that's the case. Is there anybody listening with a hunger that, hey, this is God, and I yearn to know and do your will, Lord? I want to be a doer, not just a hearer. So God, first of all, we see he's speaking to this world. Come back. But is anybody really listening? This world runs around their fingers in their ears, missing out on God calling them back. God has spoken. When a person speaks, it's to reveal something about themselves to the other person. It's to give some information, some knowledge, some insight, share a feeling, a thought, something. It's to get something from inside of me over to you, is the idea, with the intention of you understanding it, taking it in and all. It's in speaking that you would learn something about the person speaking that you didn't know before. Through speech, we reveal what's going on inside. So it is with God. When he speaks, it's to reveal himself. It's not for his sake. It's to reveal something about him to us. But are we listening? Or are we settling? Do I really want to know him? We sing, I want to know you, I want to know you more and more. But do I really, as he speaks by the Holy Spirit, by his word, does he find in me someone who, I want to know, I want to grow, I want to obey that, I want to discover you in those ways? Is anybody really listening when God speaks? God has spoken. The weight of a man's words carry the weight of who it is that's speaking those words. You understand that? There are people, because of the position they hold, their words carry great weight. When your boss speaks to you, well, I don't know. I hope it carries a certain amount of weight with you. When your superior at the office or wherever you are, when they say something, you hopefully pay attention. When your mate speaks to you, I hope you're paying attention because of the value you put in that person. When the president speaks, he says he's going to make an announcement at 6 o'clock tonight. Everybody tunes in because they want to see what he's going to say. Why? Because of who he is, the authority that he has. There's some people, we don't care what they say, and we shouldn't. We give them no place in our lives because they don't deserve that place in our lives. So it's who they are and the weight they have behind them. God has spoken. What does he find in us? Do you understand the authority and the weight and who it is? Wow. It would behoove me to listen to the kind of listening that's going to result in the doing. How well do we listen? Look again at verse 2. It says, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You see the declaration there that God has spoken by his Son? Bible commentators point out that the Greek here is very interesting. In the Greek, it's worded in such a way that what's being said is this. God isn't saying here that he has just spoken through Jesus, though that he certainly has done. But it's even more than that. It's as Bible commentator William Newell puts it, quote, but the fundamental truth set forth in Hebrews is that Christ himself, the Son of God, is God's message, end quote. God not only speaks through Jesus, he speaks by Jesus. Now, he didn't speak Jesus into existence. Jesus is God. He's always existed. But it means Jesus doesn't just bring a message. Jesus is the message, is what's being said. He himself is the message to us. So it's not just what Jesus says, but who he is, his nature, his character. Remember, Jesus said, you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So Jesus himself is the message to us. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. We know that's speaking about Jesus when you read this passage, but it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's not what Jesus said, but who he is, God incarnate, full of grace and truth, his very nature, his character revealed right there. God has spoken in his Son. He has spoken Jesus to us. He speaks Jesus, his Son, God incarnate, comes because God has a message. And it's a message from the depth of his heart aimed at the depth of our hearts. From his heart to our needs. See, when man speaks, his appeal, depending on the message, is to your mind, to your logic. It might be to your feelings, to your passions, trying to stir up something that way. See, communications have a goal to impart some knowledge or get a reaction or something. But they're kind of aimed at a certain part of us. But God speaks that which is deeper than all of that. He speaks deeper than anything else can. That's why nothing out there will really ever be what we really need to hear. God speaks from his heart to the heart of us. To that central core part of us where the deep issues of life are at. And what does he speak to my need? To my struggles? To my weaknesses? To my failures? To my questions? What does he speak? He comes himself and offers to come inside and speaks Jesus. His words and his presence, his power and his provision. He speaks those things, if you will, into my needs, into every nook and cranny, into everything that the world can't even begin to touch. Are we listening? Do I listen with a wide open heart and a heart willing to receive by faith and act upon and rest in what he is saying? Consider this. God has spoken, it says, and he's spoken by his Son. God didn't stop at sending angels, though he has used angels. God didn't stop at sending prophets, though he has used prophets. He came himself. He spoke, the Father spoke the Son. He came himself. Who are we that God would even want to speak to us? If we really understand these hearts of ours, that they're desperately wicked, if we're really honest about the things we struggle with that go on inside our lives and everything else, if we're really honest, we could rightly say, God, who am I that you're even mindful? Like the psalmist did. Who am I that you're even mindful of me? But you want to speak to me? Yep. He just does. See, that is awesome. Well, what do you want to say? I'm not so sure I'm ready to hear it. Does God come out and say, I want to talk to you? Okay, and my message is, I wish I never made you. I hate you. You have blown it so much. How can I ever forgive you? You know what? I'm going to get rid of you and start over again. Is that the kind of thing he says? See, think of what he has said. He's spoken to us, and look what he says. Again, any kind of an amen or hallelujah is allowed, but that's up to you. What does he say to us? What does God say to the one who wonders, is there salvation? To the one who's struggling with and doesn't yet receive Christ as Savior? What does he say to you? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, Jesus says. Not religion, Not being good enough, not your good outweighing the bad, not being born in America, not voting a certain way. None of those things are going to do it. But there is a way. Well, what's the way? It's the message, not just the words. The one he sent is the way. I've made a way for you now, open to all. Now, make no mistake, he says, there's no other way. You must come through the cross. You must come through the shed blood. But all can come. And so what's he say? All that the Father gives me, and if you're drawn, he's calling, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. God has spoken, and he says, come to me, and I will not cast you out. Now that's great news. Well, Lord, do you know about? Yeah. What about? Yeah. Have you heard about? Yeah. Did you happen to see? Yeah. And I still can come? Yes. I died for those things, to get it cleared up, to get it cleansed. Come on, come. But are you listening, unbeliever? Are you listening with the intent to do? Would you respond? That's his call, respond, receive it. There's no other way, and it's what you really need. Think about what God has said. Think about the one who thinks that, well, Jesus was really just basically a good person, wasn't he? He's really just a man. What does he say to you? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It means the first and the last. It's all wrapped up in him. Says the Lord. God speaks with a message for you. Whoop, let's go back. Says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He's not just basically a good man or a prophet. He is God. Always has been, always will be. He is the Almighty. But what will you do about what he said? Are you listening? Is the question. To the one who's troubled this morning, troubled with whatever you might be going through, what's he say to you? Well, these things I have spoken to you. Remember, we're talking about here. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. A peace just that you really need and the only place it can be found. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Sometimes translated, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. But I've spoken these things so you can have peace. He speaks these things that we can have a foundation to build our life. He who hears and does what he says is like the wise man who builds upon a solid foundation. You're troubled. You're carrying all these things you were never designed to. Matthew 11. So Jesus says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he say? He said, I never designed you to carry all that. I never designed you to try to weather that storm on your own. Come on, bring it to me. Cast that on me. Let me carry you. Let me steer the ship. Whatever the analogy is that we're going to use. But just come. Think what God's saying to us. I never designed you to handle that trial, that loss, that hurt, that pain, that event, that circumstance on your own. Bring it to me. I'll carry that. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Are you listening, struggling one? Will you by faith hear and rest today? The ball's in your court. It's in my court. He is speaking, and look what he's saying. But does he find us hearing with the intent to do, that we might have these victories and all? Believer, John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's all that we might have these fruitful lives. The fruit of the Spirit. We might, without him, nothing. With him, all things are possible. But it takes abiding in him. And he is the message. Now, will I hear it with the intent of doing it? That's the call. In what Jesus says and what and who he is, God is speaking. And what does he speak? Words of love. Words of forgiveness, comfort, encouragement. Words our hearts long to hear. But are we listening really? So much static on the line when God says, spend some time with me. So many things competing for us, and we give so many things that part of us. That listening ear, a listening heart, so to speak. But God's saying, listen to me. Spend time with me. And as we do, what will our answer be? Consider who Jesus is. Look at the text again, starting in verse 2. Heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. God couldn't say it much clearly. Jesus is God incarnate, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. Think of it. Heir to the kingdom, creator of the world, the outshining, the brightness of his glory, the express image of the Father, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the only one who's purged our sins, the one who now sits at the right hand of God. He has spoken. Are we listening? If you're a believer, let me ask you something. Do you realize who you belong to? Better yet, how well do you know the one you belong to? Are you growing in how much you know the one you belong to? Don't coast. Don't settle for being saved. It was meant to draw us into a fellowship, a relationship with him. There are particularly two amazing things about this passage before us. The first is God has spoken. How? By his Son. In Jesus, he has spoken. Now, that's an amazing thing, more than we can really take in, really. But I'd like to suggest a second amazing thing about this passage. First one, God has spoken. But the next thing is this. God has spoken, but don't you find it pretty amazing how little mankind listens? All the attention we give to so many things, and God speaks, but how little man listens. God has spoken, Jesus. Are you listening? As he speaks to you in your place, in your circumstances, he is speaking. And remember who it is that's speaking. He speaks from the heart. And that's where we must listen, in our hearts. Oh, he might choose to speak audibly to you. If he does, great. I've never had that happen for me. If it happened for you, you let me know. But hey, he has spoken. And he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, through his word and all. Question, the thing is, it's in the heart that you hear it. It's the heart, he's knocking on the door of your heart to come in. And when he comes in, he takes up residence in your heart. So he's speaking in the heart. Is there a yearning in your heart? The heart speaks to the core of who we are, of course. Not that muscle, but it means the very center of who I am. The real me do I yearn for, hunger to hear him. If I will do that, I will hear him. Because he wants to. God's speaking. I find most people just too busy to listen or don't want to hear it. But if we take time, he's speaking all the time. By the Spirit, through the Word, he's speaking. But are we listening? Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. So it's the Father speaking about the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What? Hear him. And that's with the kind of intention of doing, kind of hearing with obey, receive, walk in, rest in him. The Father says, this is who I've sent. This is my message. Hear him. Do you hear him today? Do you hear him every day? The kind of hearing, the kind of listening that results in that close fellowship he wants to have. God's great longing is to reach our hearts and speak to us. To approach God and his word as simply an intellectual pursuit is to keep ourselves from what it's really all about. Of course, there's a place to mentally understand it, but don't stop there. God's spoke by his Son that they, the Hebrews, and us, might have direct living contact with him. The Holy Spirit's there for that purpose of personal fellowship with him. The Word of God is given that we can know the God of the Word. Are we listening? Bible commentator Andrew Murray, and you can't go wrong in reading any of his stuff. He says, quote, "There are times when there arises in the soul a deep longing to know God." He says, "External teaching does not satisfy. Treasure such longing as God's loving drawing." End quote. That stirring, that's him. That hunger for him, that's him. Ask him to fan that ember into a flame. Hunger and yearn for constant fellowship. Take time in that. Don't settle for less. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The call this morning, take time to listen with your heart. His Son is His expression. He wants you to know some things. He spoke His Son. What will be your answer? For some this morning, your answer needs to be, Lord, I invite you in. Jesus, forgive me. I accept you as my Savior. For some, your answer this morning needs to be, Lord, I'm coming back to you. You're a prodigal that needs to come home. Jesus told that story to show us how the Father has arms open wide for prodigals to come home. Are you listening, prodigal? And what will you do about it? Have you drifted? Are you far away? Come home. For still others, it simply needs to be, Lord, I've settled for knowing about you. Now I recognize I need to know you. Help me know you more and more. Experientially, heart, know you. God has spoken. Are you listening? What will your answer be? And it's an answer you give with your life. Invite Tim and the team up. As they do, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and think about what you've heard. God's been impressing upon me lately the need to really apply the things we hear. There's always that danger of going to church and feeling kind of good about ourselves. You know, we're at church worshiping and all. And that's, He calls us to do it. That's great. But then we might leave and just leave it there, you know. And God wants, He speaks that we might do, that He might minister or comfort or convict, and that we might give up something that's harmful, whatever it is. So the question becomes, what has God spoken to you? Now, I imagine, I would hope we could go around the room and I could even begin to ask you one by one. I'm not going to do it, but let's say I did. What if I went around right now and said, has God spoken to you something today? Did God speak something to you this week? Is there something from the Word of God that you always tend to go back to because you know God spoke to you about it? Is there something at some point in your life, you remember He spoke to you something and it comforted or challenged you or whatever it was? And I would hope each of us would have those times, those experiences where we know God spoke. What will you do about it? What will we do about it is the challenge. Let's be those who He finds us saying, God, speak. Your servant heareth that he might do. That we might do what you're speaking to us. Let's pray. Father, we know you're speaking. You're speaking by your word. Your Holy Spirit is here speaking. For the one who hasn't opened his or her heart to you, I pray that right now, by your love, Lord, draw them, nudge them, break through, Lord, just show them, help them to hear that knock on the door of their heart. And may they even now open up, Lord. For those of us who by your mercy we know you, Lord, we know you're speaking because none of us have arrived. We're all under construction. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to hear, help us to listen with intention to do. Empower us by your Spirit to hear and to do. For the one that needs to come back to you, Lord, cause them to do that today. For the one who knows they've been coasting, Again, just fan that ember into a flame. For those of us who just know, Lord, we need you more and more. Help us every day be right in that place of hungering and letting you help us know you more and more every day. Just saying, Lord, have your way. Have your way in each and every one of us. And Lord, that you have spoken is awesome. Awesome. But the ball is in our court. Are we listening? what will our answer be? In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. As we close in song, if something spoke to you and you'd like prayer about it this morning, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Go get prayer, whatever it might be. If you can at all make it, we encourage you to go out for the harvest tonight. We encourage you to join us for communion midweek. Like I said, all these invitations, everything competing for our time. Go to God and say, God, what are your priorities? What would you have me to do? And then walk in that path, the best one. May you have an awesome, awesome week. I just know him more and more. Lord, for each one here, I pray that. I pray this would be a week, every day, Lord, every day, continually, out to that time of going home to you, Lord. Every day, Lord, that we would know you more and more and would settle for less. Help us to hear you. We rejoice that you are indeed speaking to us. But Lord, help us to hear and then to walk right there. All to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.